Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Noontime Hour. This is Lee, one half of the host today of Tune In Is at Noon. My other half, Donna Scheer, was unable to make it today due to circumstances beyond her control. She wasn't able to get back here in time. And that was Michael Skinner, the amazing Michael Skinner, with Brush Away Your Tears. Thank you so much, Michael, for allowing us the honor of being able to use some of your music. We appreciate that so much. Thank you. Thank you. Our topic today is child abuse and addictions and the connection between those two. There's a great majority of those who are abused in childhood, whether physically, emotionally, sexually, or otherwise, who end up in the web tangled with addictions, whether addiction to alcohol, drugs, or food, sex, drugs, whether they are the illicit street drugs or whether they're prescription drugs. It doesn't matter. It's anything to fill that hole, to cover the pain. There's self-medicate. We know kids are going to try a lot of things growing up. a lot of peer pressure out there. Try the cigarettes. They'll try different drugs, depending on geographical location and the availability, the ease of access. A lot of times it's the a lot of prescription drugs and alcohol. Alcohol is a big thing, but really it can be anything out there. Excuse me a second. But, 66, I'm so sorry. My mouth is just not cooperating at the moment. 66% abused during childhood. You know, the National Institute on Drug Abuse reports that up to 2/3 of people in treatment for drug abuse say that they were abused during childhood, you know, whether that was physically, emotionally, or sexually. And the studies show that there is a relationship between the childhood abuse and drug abuse later in life, you know, and they're doing a lot more study on that. And, you know, it's, we have a lot of different factors that go into that. You know, they have, these youth have an increased difficulty with their schoolwork. They have more behavior problems, lower grades, often lower grades, or they may turn on the other side, on the flip side, and, you know, strive to be that straight A student. And that puts an awful lot of stress on that child. You know, the behavior problems may suggest they weren't just using drugs, but they, you know, they developed a potential dependence on them. There's, you know, compared with teens who, or even those in adolescents who have no exposure factors to child abuse, teens with child abuse exposure factors, teens with one exposure factor were 5 times more likely to increase the alcohol and other drug use. And those with 3 exposure factors or more had a unbelievable 19 times more likely to increase their drug or alcohol use. You know, it's just unbelievable. The numbers are just mind-numbing. These are our kids and our grandkids and nieces and nephews. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's hard to see if you don't know what you're looking for. You know, so linking them together, being able to link them together, how do you link it together? What do you look for? You know, well, at McLean Hospital, and there's a Dr. Martin H. Tesher, or Tesher. I'm not familiar with pronouncing his name, so please forgive me, doctor. It's T-E-I-C-H-E-R. And he and a team of colleagues, McLean Hospital is a psychiatric hospital affiliated with Harvard University, which I am very familiar with. I worked security up there years ago, and they compared the brain scans of 51 patients with those of 97 healthy children. And they noted a reduction in the size of the sensitive areas of the brain and abnormal brain waves that mimic epilepsy, end quote, among children who have suffered from abuse. That's quite an interesting find, and that's quite some damage in the brain. You know, the one affected brain structure is the corpus callosum, which connects the left and right hemispheres of our brain. You know, and reduction in size of that important structure can result in dramatic shifts in mood and personality. I mean, so it's not just, you know, your kid being ugly or you know, going through something. There could be some abuse happening on there. If you notice it in a child, it's, you know, the brain is a fascinating organ. And when these things happen, when the abuse happens, these changes aren't seen unless, you know, these tests are performing, this MRI, you know, that is looking at these areas of the brain. And this is thanks to the technologies and the advances in medicine, which have come by leaps and bounds over time, which are just incredible. You know, these abnormally abnormalities in other structures of the brain can impact their ability to regulate their emotions and their impulses. And then these intense cravings for drugs, you know, it's really difficult. You know, it's believed that the constant exposure to the stress hormones, you know, when you're always on alert, you're on alert, something's going to happen. You're hyper alert. And it is believed that constant exposure can cause a permanent rewiring of the child's brains. And that results in an over-response to the stress compared to who have not been abused. You know, and reiterating what I had just previously said a few minutes ago, the electrical activity in the brains of children who have suffered, of people, you know, adults who have suffered abuse during childhood actually resemble the electrical patterns present in epileptic patients. And those same abnormalities are correlated with thoughts of suicide. And this comes from, you know, that very same doctor, Dr. Tesher. And he has extensively studied this link between addiction and childhood abuse, suicide, and other mental disorders. So, I mean, he is an incredible professional who has studied this and gone into depth with all of this. It's a specialty. And this can, substance abuse, excuse me, adults with substance abuse disorders, you know, you got to look at what's gone on in the years previous. You got to look at what has happened in their life when they grew up. You've got to attack the root cause of what began this behavior, what began this addiction. It's not just, okay, well, let's, you know, get you dry, quote unquote, or let's get you clean, you know, from the drugs or the alcohol. And, you know, once we do that, you should be okay, you know, or we can get you in rehab and, you know, you're in an inpatient program for so long, you know, 6 months to a year or whatever it takes, and then you're in an outpatient program. And then, you know, you should be okay. And then they wonder why people relapse, even going to meetings or whatever and staying connected to others who have similar difficulties, who are alcoholic, recovering alcoholics, or recovering addicts. But the thing is, if you don't attack the root problem, what brought this addiction on in the first place, if you don't attack that, if you don't work through those issues, then this addiction may never be completely resolved, and it may continue back. It may come, you know, back like a boomerang. So, you know, it's... what do you do? You've got to work at it. You've got to have a support system. A support system is so critical. Whether that means, you know, separating yourself from blood, family, or those that you really love but are not supportive. Separating yourself from friends who are not supportive. You've got to, I like the word paper doll. You've got to paper doll these people out. You've got to cut them out. Paper dolls you cut out. You know, I grew up with cutting paper dolls out of these little books. So you've got to paper to all these people out of your life. They're toxic. And you cannot heal with toxic people in your life. You've got to walk out of the forest in order to heal. And then you bring the healing back to the forest. You know, but you've got to find, you've got to have, it doesn't matter if you have just one or two persons who are supporting you. As long as they are a positive support system, a positive, strong support system for you, that's the most critical thing. They've got to be a positive support system, you know. So let's talk a minute. You know, I want to talk about, you know, SAMHSA. And what they talk about, they are the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and they talk about that how adverse childhood experiences, or as they call them, ACEs, how they are a significant risk factor for substance abuse disorders, and how they also can hinder prevention efforts. So what do the ACEs include? Well, the adverse childhood experiences can include, and not all limited to this, but this is a good list of them. And like we talked about, the physical, emotional, or sexual abuse is physical or emotional neglect. It can be violent treatment of a child's parent. There's substance misuse within the household. That can be drugs. You know, they can be pills. We're talking about needles, you know, shooting up. Talking about drinking, alcohol. Mental illness within the household. You know, severe mental illness that's gone unchecked and is untreated, you know. Is parental divorce or separation, an incarcerated family member. You know, talk about the substance misuse within the household for a minute. You know, we have so much of that in the news, and you know, children being found in cars and at home with parents passed out from drug overdoses, from opioids and, you know, from overdoses with heroin. And it's frightening. It's frightening. And this is what I came across in something the other day. Actually, it came across my screen from the sheriff's office. Was an 11-year-old girl. 11 years old. Who, thank you, Lord, was revived by Narcan, overdosed on heroin in her home. That should have you sitting there with your mouth open, shaking your head, and wanting to get off your butt and do something. We have a serious epidemic, and we need everybody to get up, stand up, and do something. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something proactive for these children. We've got to do something. Support the kids. Support a survivor. Chances are you know one. If you aren't a survivor, you know one. I guarantee it. One out of three girls and one out of six boys will be sexually assaulted before the age of 18. You know, that the numbers sink in yet? It's wild. You know. So what do? You work together. You work together within your communities. You help develop programs that will help attack the root cause, that will help. That will help educate. If you're not a professional, it's okay. You can still help get education throughout your communities, and that will help prevent some of this disaster. It will help prevent it somewhere along the line. And that's a very positive step to be taking, because if you stand by and do nothing, then you are part of the problem. I don't have an issue saying that. You know, there are a couple of good organizations, a couple of good pages, you know, we'll say, that do have valuable information. Above the Influence, which is abovetheinfluence.com, is a good page to a good website to get some information, and it is a helpful resource for adolescents, and it's geared towards helping teens learn how to recognize the effects of peer pressure, learn how to shape healthy decisions. They have real stories from teens who have overcome these influences, the peer pressure influences, without giving in to the pressure. So that's awesome, you know, working with that. And the coolspot.gov offers similar resources as well, helping the teens to combat peer pressure and to learn how to make smart choices. You know, that those are invaluable for educating, you know, the adolescents through school, parents, and other means on the importance of refraining from the drug and alcohol use. And while they are excellent for that, they don't address the root problems that are impacting our children that are still suffering, or the older adults who've suffered from abuse. And that is what needs to happen. We need to address the root cause. And for adolescents who've suffered from abuse, addressing that root cause, those emotional, psychological, and physical impacts from the abuse that have caused those brain abnormalities in structure and function, that is the key to successful intervention that will reduce the likelihood that those little survivors, those young survivors, will turn to substance abuse as a way to self-medicate the pain at some point throughout their lives. You know, and when we speak of adolescents, they generally look at the years from 11 through 14. Although some adolescents have started self-medicating as early as 10, that I have known personally. And, you know, to know that a child is self-medicating as early as 10 years old, drinking hard liquor to bury the pain of incest, of being regularly molested by their own father, or a relative, or, you know, whoever, or, you know, it just, that should really anger you. It should outrage you. It should outrage you enough to take action. You know, you should want to learn. You should want to get educated. You learn what to do. You know, you can actually, we have a lot of resources on our website, Advocates United for Humanity, and, you know, we can direct you there. We also have an app for those who have mobiles, mobile phones, or, you know, on the go, you can download the app. And I will give you that. Let me give you that just a second here. And it is Advocates United, the number 4, humanity.weebly.com. I'm going to pop that in the chat room as well. So those of you in there can get that. And you can just go to our site and you can go under app. You click on app and we have our free updated mobile resource app. You can scan, download our app for free. It is a free app and have vital resources handy on the go for you. It contains the resources that we have on our site for animal abuse awareness. We have child abuse awareness, the reporting information, domestic violence, information on missing, on what to do if your child is missing, what to look for, who to contact, information on rape, suicide resources, our trusted resources, Mama Bear Effect, and we have a lot of other information. So, you know, you can stop and take a look, check it out. Excuse me. You know, sorry. And, okay, so let me get back here for a minute. And I also want to take a second and say thank you to our sponsors, Renova Disposal, who helps us keep our programming going. We appreciate you. We really do. Thank you, Renova Disposal, in Pennsylvania. We thank you. And, you know, research shows that National Drug Research Surveys show and indicate that some children are already abusing drugs by 12 or 13. But, you know, it's not surprising. Sadly, it's not surprising. And we've got so many kids who are on, who parents met, you know, parents take to the doctors because they, quote unquote, have behavior issues. And the first thing that is done is, well, let's medicate the kid. I come from a generation that we didn't get medicated. We were told to go outside and play. Most kids these days, a majority of them, are inside playing video games, playing, you know, Xboxes and PSPs and, you know, all of that, when really, instead of, you know, Adderall and, you know, similar meds, the ADHD stimulants, when all they really need, not all of them, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physician, I'm not a medical professional, but a lot of kids, what they really need is attention, they need love, they need guidance, and they need to be played with. They need to go outside and be played with. So anyway, that wraps up our show for today, and you can just email us with any questions. You can go to Your Voice Radio group on Facebook. And we just thank you so much for being here today, and we appreciate your support. Everybody have a lovely week, and we will see you next week with our show, and my host partner will be back, and we'll have another very interesting topic for you. If you have any topics you want to hear about, just send us an email. Or leave us a message on Facebook, and we will get back to you. Thank you so much.